Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Failla.
You looking at the resurrection.
Broadcasting live within walking distance of some very famous buildings, it's God's regift to radio, New York City cab driver, Jimmy Failla.
I love how the intro still calls me a cab driver. I think they know something about the advanced sales of my book.
But once a cab driver, always a cab
driver.
Oh,
that's what it is. That's what it is. When you're a jet.
It's like being a magician. You're always a magician, even if you're not doing magic.
There it is. Coming to you live from New York City. It's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Failla. Big day on the show today. Good afternoon, everybody. Jimmy Failla here. Welcoming you to a big hour of reality radio. 855-236-2280, the toll-free number if you'd like to be a part of the show. And what a fine show it is. The Tonight Show returns tonight on NBC.
Tonight.
With a new host and a new location.
Oh, my God.
Looked very familiar if you were alive. If you voted for Dwight Eisenhower, the location looks very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Voted for Truman, it looks very familiar.
They're making a big deal out of it, but there's really only two choices.
Yeah, I know. It's New York or L.A.
It's not like they moved it to Washington, D.C.
No. That
that would have been interesting.
You
and
will
it's a
know.
Guy that was already on the air.
Can
it's
I tell
not
you
that
something?
Big a news story.
If you turn on The Tonight Show in a year and The Tonight Show is in Washington, D.C., something went horribly wrong.
Right,
let's just get that out of the way. But The Tonight Show is moving. An Australian scientist has invented hangover-free beer. We're going to get into that in a little while. It hydrates you and also helps you avoid a hangover. That's progress. I don't really need a hangover-free, like a beer that avoids a hangover.
Yeah.
I need a beer that'll stop me from punching a police horse. You know what I mean? Like something like that would be good. If you can make that beer.
The beer that stops
me from buying a shot for a guy in a wig in West Chelsea.
Man.
That's the beer I want. We'll get into that in a little while. And a woman down in South Carolina in the slammer for not returning a movie that she rented in 1995. We'll get into that as well.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a little while.
I just got to chill.
Can you? Yeah. I know, because how many movies do you have out? I'm like, what video store is still open?
I can't even tell you. I should be on death row.
If that's the case.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into it, and we're going to get your qualifications for imprisonment. You, the listener. You can call us toll-free at 855-236-2280. I should also remind you before we start the show that this episode of Off the Meter Radio and every episode of Off the Meter Radio, except last Thursday's, I think they want that back.
Yeah.
But the good folks at Audible.com. Audible.com sponsors this show. You can get a free 30-day membership to Audible as well as a free audio book by visiting audibletrial.com/offthemeter. Do it right now. I love audiobooks. I'm working on an audiobook.
That's right.
That's how passionate I am about the medium.
Yeah.
Working on one with Lance Neal, Grammy Award winner.
The Grammy Award winning sound
not
artist.
Only, and not only can he edit an audiobook, but he can wipe out a day with a conference call.
Yeah.
Dean and I had a conference call at 11 that turned into a filibuster.
It was 3 hours long.
I'm like, who did we call? Ted Cruz?
We got a lot of work done,
though. It was 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
amazing.
Know if you guys are, what you guys are doing, but
yeah,
you can bang this out right now.
You guys want to wipe out the rest of your February. I felt like I was in one of those endurance contests where we all have our fingers on a car, and whoever keeps his hand on wins the car.
I know.
It was one of them. Joining me now in studio, as he does every day, Dean Imperial and producer Ken Wood. How you doing, boys?
Good.
Good.
Two fellas.
Good. Real good.
Two fellas who had unique vantage points on my Thursday night headlining role on Access Television.
Yes.
Dean Imperial, of course, there in the orchestra seats. Ken Wood, of course, sitting at home, not giving a crap.
You big fat slob.
But it's good
Excuse
to see
me.
You nonetheless.
Maybe I shouldn't call him that.
How did it look on TV? Was it okay?
It looked great.
I appreciate you making the effort, though, to watch me on.
I actually
had to pick up the remote.
To find Access TV, which is not.
No, to be fair, that's not easy. But you did that.
It's not easy to access.
Good to see you. No. Hey-o. Hey-o.
You can't get it on Time Warner.
The reason Ken Wood is on in the opening break is because today is President's Day.
Oh.
Or as Ken Wood says.
What? Oh, is this that?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was just saying, there's you don't have to do anything. There's no responsibilities. They should call it Vice President's Day.
Hey!
Oh!
There it is, folks.
Oh, my God. You should end the show right now.
Ken Wood going straight Dice Clay on the program. Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate you watching the show. That was nice.
No,
listen to me.
Great.
Everybody who came out to Gotham Comedy Club, everybody who watched Gotham Comedy Live, I thank you. I begin the show with a round of applause for all of you, except maybe Jenny's parents. Because what happened, great night on the show, and thank you everybody for coming. Katie Dolan, I'll thank you on the air.
Yeah.
If I haven't thanked you enough already. And I will say this. What happened was I was the last comic on the show, and because it's a live show, it has to run a specific length of time.
That's right.
And if the acts in front of you go long, it shortens your set.
That's
if the
right.
acts in front of you go short, it lengthens your set.
Mm-hmm.
So what they said was, they're like, yeah, you got an extra minute and a half to do. So I was working through my act, and the minute and a half I added happened to do with pandas watching pornography.
Ah, yes.
Which, to be fair, is not my ideal joke for Jenny's parents.
No.
Who probably watching a simulcast from their church. Like, they're literally sitting there by the tabernacle.
Right.
And pandas are having sex all over a comedy stage in New York City.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you have anything to apologize for. That is a very, very funny joke.
Oh, thanks.
It's a very authoritative joke.
But these people go to church every day.
Ken, they're in church right now.
They go to church 7 days a week.
They break into church to stay there.
Yeah.
Like if they shut down the church.
These people
the priest throws them out.
He's like, no,
that having been said,
home.
Guys, they live in rural Ohio. There's nothing else to do. You go to church because there's no shows playing nearby.
They've got some action. Listen, they spend most of the day making peace with the fact that their daughter threw her life away. I mean, that's an occupation.
But they're God-fearing folks.
Yes.
And their son-in-law was telling a joke about two zoo animals.
You know what the hardest part of the joke is?
Yeah.
That you know her dad gets the whole joke.
Yeah, I know.
You want to? I mean,
what
a guy
is
like
your
that,
mom? Can I ask you a question? How does your mom feel about that material? Because you know,
care.
Marianne is. Yeah, she doesn't care, right?
My mom.
Because I didn't think so.
Is as big a gangster as there is.
No, I know. I know.
She just doesn't care.
She just
wants to have a good time.
Yeah.
My mom is the rooster. Have you ever heard the old street joke about the farmer who has to get his chickens pregnant?
Yes.
By the relentless rooster. Have you heard this, Ken?
Oh, I love that
Katie,
joke.
Have you heard this?
It's a great joke.
So there's a farmer, right? And he's got a bunch of hens. He needs to get them pregnant. He needs to get them pregnant, but they won't, you know, they're not getting pregnant.
Yeah.
So he goes down to the local pharmacy, and he says, like, I got to get these hens pregnant. I need help. Nothing's working. He says, I've got a rooster for you. He says, it's $1,000 for the rooster, $5,000 for the story. He goes, no, I just want the rooster. He goes, oh, you'll be really happy. Just take it. So he throws the rooster in the car, drives the rooster home. A mile from his farm, the rooster jumps out of the car, sprints across the field right into the hen house, and the farmer can see in the distance just feathers and screeches flying everywhere. There's feathers, there's boards, there's nails, all kinds of smoke and dust. The farmer speeds home to the farm, and he sees that the rooster has had sex with every chicken in there. Farmer's like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. But as he goes to grab the rooster runs out and starts humping all the cows. And he's like, this guy's relentless. And then the rooster runs from the cow, starts humping all the pigs. And the farmer finally tackles him, and he says, yo, rooster, you got to calm the fuck down. You're going to drop dead expanding all your energy like this. It has to stop. And the rooster's like, ah, you know nothing. Don't worry about it. Runs away, the rooster, and gets on all the sheep. And the farmer's like, holy shit. He goes inside. So he eats dinner. He's washing the dishes. Sure enough, end of the day, sees the rooster lying on the ground in the field, completely motionless, eyes shut, and the buzzards are circling. The farmer walks out to the field and he says, see, little rooster, you dummy. I told you, you had to conserve your energy. And the rooster says, shh, they're getting closer. But that's
that
my
joke.
Mom.
I love
that. I'm not saying she's fucking all a bunch of chickens.
All that to describe your
No, but she's relentless. My mom has come from a long line of relentless women who don't take anything seriously.
They're getting closer.
Grandma Bordinko, the other fugitive grandma, used to take me to Roosevelt Raceway when I was 3 and literally be like, they would cut her off at windows, so she would send me to a window because there's a bet maximum.
Yeah.
I played in cash card games when my grandma was 4 years old.
Yeah.
I come from fun people.
Yes. They don't they won't give up.
It might
they
not
don't
be
give up.
It might not be reflected in the quality of the show, but I come from a long line of fun people. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And that's my mom. You do any joke in front of her. You don't feel it. Don't even know. Nothing self-conscious about my mom.
No.
So shout out to everybody who came out. Shout out to Tom Cotter, star of America's Got Talent.
Yep, he was great.
Human winner. Of season 7, because he was a finalist. He lost out to Dogs. So
what?
The running joke amongst comedians is that we call Cotter the human winner of America's Got Talent.
Oh, wow.
But phenomenal. Tom Cotter did a great job. You know, a lot of great acts on the show.
Yeah, great
crowd.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Mazzilli.
Yeah.
Steve Mazzilli.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of the program, Jimmy Cannizzaro, gets a shout out.
Yeah.
Why? Because he spared me from a situation.
That's right.
There was almost a situation at the club, and Cannizzaro gave me a heads up. Mm-hmm. That's as crazy as we're going to go with this on the air right now.
Okay.
But Cannizzaro gave me a heads up, and I avoided an actual career
catastrophe.
Thanks to Jimmy Cannell. The reason we're not going to get into it on the air is the next time he's on the show, we're going to break it down line by line. Mm-hmm. I want him to give us a firsthand account.
Sure.
So we shout out all of those people, but wait, there's more. We shout out the New York Daily News and Jimmy Fallon, host of The Tonight Show. They get one of these because they ran a piece today. Ken, did you see the piece?
Yeah.
It's a nice piece.
It is.
If you haven't seen it yet, it's on my Facebook page. You can also go to the Daily News website. You can also open the New York Daily News, New York's hometown paper. Mm-hmm. I am on the cover of part two today, over the shoulder of one James Fallon, because The Tonight Show is back in New York. They interviewed a couple of comics to get like a take on like what we think of it coming back.
Yeah.
And I guess I gave them a couple of juicy quotes, and they threw my picture in there.
That's right. You're Jimmy Fela is right above Jimmy Fallon.
How about me?
How about that?
Top billing. We ain't going to have to steal no more.
Well, we're moving on.
Big Dad. So, yeah, it was really funny about that one, by the way, because I get the Daily News delivered to my house.
You do?
Yeah, so you know how weird it is?
I didn't know anybody got newspapers delivered to their house anymore.
I get the Daily News to my house. I walked out the door in my underwear.
Do you get milk, too?
Opened. No, but Jenny does. Hey-ho! Oh, that's terrible. But what was I going to say? I walked out, got the paper. There it was. A shout-out to Trip Wetzel. Trip Wetzel is the reporter that wrote the article.
All right.
He gave me a call last week when I was filming Jim Gaffigan's sitcom. It sure seems like I have a career, by the way.
It does.
And I don't have one. Like, I'm trying to tell my friends from back home.
I think, but it is, though. See, from what happens is, I think as it's happening, it doesn't feel like anything. Mm-hmm. But from the outside, you see it collectively. Everything's an illusion. But, like,
yeah.
It's every career looks like that.
Yeah.
I think, if you take the pieces apart.
You think we're making moves, bro?
Nah, man, it's all good.
Taking this community college education to the top, folks.
Mm-hmm.
To the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it was a cool article. And I want to say this because we need to talk about the article itself. It's not just about me stealing the thunder from Jimmy Fallon. I think everyone would agree I'm the star of that story.
Absolutely.
They had to make him look bigger in the article just to try and compete with me. I think we would agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
That's not true. Look how charismatic he is, that bastard. He's great. And I think it's my prediction that we're about to watch, like, a 30-year run. Remember how we saw Seinfeld at the club the other night?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, TV, he said these night shows are such a great experiment. We just throw these guys in a room
and watch them
decay for 30 years on television. He's going to look good in 30 years. You know, some black people have so much soul that they don't age?
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon's like, he ain't aging.
No.
He's going to look good in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to look good doing it. He's a great host of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been watching him lately. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to do well. And the idea that it is back in New York, I don't actually think it's going to lead to more New York comics getting on The Tonight Show.
No.
Like, it'd be nice. That's the romantic fantasy.
Right.
I don't know that it's that, because they're still appealing to the whole country.
Right.
But I just think, as a New York comic, the pride that we get out of it is there are those of us that are, like myself, very prideful of this city and would not. It's not that we're in a war with L.A., but we are actively rooting for New York to be cooler than L.A.
because
we'll never go to L.A. Like, if the difference for me is worldwide fame or go get your shine box, as they say in Goodfellas,
mm-hmm.
I'm probably, you know, getting the shine box if it means going to L.A. Because I'm going to move Jenny and Lincoln.
No, you don't want to move your
Katie,
family.
Katie, Ken,
yeah,
you.
Right.
We've got an operation here.
Right.
You know, you don't have to move there to appear on The Tonight Show.
No, I just meant in terms of the cultural mecca of entertainment.
Okay.
I want New York to win.
Right. Oh, yeah, no.
I want New York to have the belt. And I think, like, I was talking to Trip Wetzel about this. I was at 30 Rock for the shoot. Pretty cool. You know, for a guy like me, that's a big deal. A guy like me doesn't go to 30 Rock unless you have, like, relatives from out of town. You're taking a studio tour at NBC.
Right.
So for me to be it's a big day. And, he was saying that this is just an absolute death blow to them in terms of comedy. Because they got Conan. Who gives a shit about Conan?
Oh,
I mean, I don't.
Conan?
Does anybody?
And what channel
Katie,
is Conan
like
on TNT?
No, but I'm saying, how does he stack up on TNT to like The Tonight Show? I'm not saying I don't give a shit about him. I'm not saying I wouldn't do a show. I'm saying, is it culturally relevant on a level of The Tonight? No. And they got Kimmel, but Kimmel's happening.
Kimmel's all right.
You know what the wild card in all of this is? I think this will expedite Letterman's retirement in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because TV just, like, late-night television got really young fast.
Yeah.
Because Fallon's young. I mean, Kimmel's not that young. He's high 40s.
Do you think there are certain people who watch the Tonight Show that it'll transfer over to Letterman?
Oh, because they want an old guy?
Maybe. Maybe there's some people. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. Because I do know, I'm sure Letterman and Leno shared audience like crazy. So, yeah, if you're looking for Leno, the closest you probably have is... Actually, the closest you have is Fallon because he's goofy.
Well, yeah, I know, but there's this maturity thing happening that if I'm 65 years old and I've been watching The Tonight Show for however many years, I don't know that I want to watch the new young guy. I think I might be more inclined
to... some Tonight Show?
Yeah, I mean, might find more comfort watching Letterman.
Uh-huh. Well, as a man with no integrity,
uh-huh.
Let me just say that I'm rooting for Fallon because he's the guy who got me in the Daily News.
Well, there you go.
I'm kidding. I actually like Jimmy Fallon a lot. I think he's going to do great. So shout out to him. It's a big night. Tonight's
uh-huh.
the night.
Yeah.
He takes over. The Tonight Show is back in New York for the first time since 1962. Hey, Ken, has anyone else noticed the significance of The Tonight Show left New York the same year the Mets debuted as a franchise? Did you notice that? I was reading that today. I'm like, do you think the Mets had any? Because I'm reading the Johnny Carson book. It doesn't attribute,
I think that's just a big coincidence.
Yeah, because I'd leave.
Sure.
I would probably leave. But, yeah, it's a big day on the show. We're stealing press in the Daily News. We're talking about Seinfeld throughout the show today because we got a surprise appearance from Jerry. Jerry showed up at the Gotham Comedy Club to close the TV taping.
He did.
Ken, you should throw it over to Katie because we got to get Katie's take on this, too. So give Katie a second here. Katie Lights Out, Dolan, the pride. Joining us now in studio, the pride of the Feng Hua Bus Company.
Mm-hmm.
Please welcome Katie Dolan.
What's up, guys?
Now, Katie Dolan, when you go back and forth to Philly, what bus chain are you on?
Bolt Bus.
Are you on Bolt? All right, Bolt, yeah. Bolt is respectable.
Yeah, it is.
You took the Bolt?
I took the Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt.
How much is the Bolt? It's like 10 bucks, 12 bucks?
It depends.
15.
On how far in advance you book your ticket.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh.
I always like when those buses pull up in front of FIT at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because it always looks like Poison's Fallen Angel video.
Well, I told you that time I walked by over, when I lived on 44th Street, and I walked by the Bolt bus, and the driver was outside. And I was just like, I just saw a bus sitting there getting ready to leave. And, like, there's a little part of me that was just like, I said, hey, where's this bus going? She's like, Philadelphia.
You want to get on?
I was like, how much is the ticket? She said, 15. I said, I could pay you now. She was like, yeah. And she was like, so, you want to go? I said, I guess next time. She was like, so she was like, all right, brother, I'll be here.
My favorite Bolt bus, this might be my best one ever. It's a guy, Bill Gaynor, who's a taxi driver for 55 years.
Uh-huh.
We used to have this thing where he would drive nights, I would drive days. And when I was starting my shift, I would give him a free ride home.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I was driving him home from the garage up 6th Avenue. We see a guy taking a pee.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the Chipotle on 6th Avenue and 26th Street.
Mm-hmm.
He is urinating on 6th Avenue in front of that Chipotle. Anyway, turns around, flags me down as he sunshines me, shows me his dick.
Yeah.
Gets in my cab. We drive him to Bolt, and he climbs into the driver's seat of the Bolt bus.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Bolt bus.
I don't have any stories like that.
You don't have one of those?
It's pretty standard.
Me and Bill Gaynor were like, is he drunk? Like, we thought it was like a prank, like he was making fun of us.
Uh-huh.
No. My cab, 2G34,
yeah.
Smells like booze to this day because of that gentleman. And that story is from like 2009.
Wow.
But Katie Dolan, you're back from Philly. You saw Seinfeld the other night. Were you excited to see him?
It was so incredible.
Who's more exciting to see, me or Seinfeld? Probably Seinfeld.
Well, I've seen you before. I've never seen Jerry before.
Oh, man. The old measured response.
Oh, yeah. Don't put her on
I'm
the
full
spot.
Of those.
That, man.
I was giving her a hard time. I know the answer.
That's not nice.
You know, I'd be more excited to watch Seinfeld on TV than myself on TV. He's freaking Seinfeld. He's great.
Yeah.
And you know what I ran into afterwards? Because that, for me, was the highlight.
Uh-huh.
The highlight of the night is not closing the show. And I felt like it went pretty well. But the highlight was actually telling people next day, yeah, I'm like, Seinfeld went on. Like, my mom and all those guys got to see Seinfeld. And I had, like, three people go, like, yeah, I never found him funny, bro. I hate those people.
Oh.
Like, I know that funny is subjective, but you know there are people out there that just decide to not find someone funny because they're, like, as popular as they are? Like, I always ask myself if I'm doing that with Kevin Hart because of how popular he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can make a compelling argument that he's not that funny. Like, I think Seinfeld is
funny.
Yeah, I think you have to accept that he's funny.
Seinfeld is funny.
You have to accept that. I think you just need to deal with that and move on.
Yeah.
But I had that. But wasn't it cool? It was so cool to see him and to have you guys there was really
so
nice.
So cool.
Do you know that I didn't know Dean was there till it was over?
You Really?
I didn't know you were there.
I thought I saw you looking at him.
I was just looking around.
Oh.
But I wasn't. No, you're not. You just create the illusion that you're making eye contact with
me.
No,
you didn't see where I was sitting because I wasn't sitting with your table.
Wasn't sitting with in the VIP orchestra section.
That was me.
Right.
That the network provided me with.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we want to put your family behind the camera crew in the back.
Yep. I had actually put myself in a pretty, like, I had hidden myself behind the people in front of me because the guy was doing crowd work, the warm-up guy, and
he was going...
Oh, God.
I was just going to get into that.
Oh!
So what happens the other night, the other night is the show ends. It's a wonderful taping. I send home my family. We all go over to Jake's Saloon and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Producers of the show, the other comics are there. Tom Cotter's there. I have some situation going in the back with one of my friends. I have an old friend that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't realize is that there's also a reality show being filmed called Who Wants to Bang Katie Dolan? And literally every comic that came through that door blew an hour trying to have sex with Katie Dolan.
Yep.
I'll name names. I don't give a shit.
Don't name names.
All right, fine.
They might be on the show.
One guy tried to get her to go home.
Uh-huh.
Like, I walked over there and knew he was hitting. Like, you know when you know a guy's hitting on a girl because his conversational octave is like is a little too cutesy for his everyday?
Yeah.
You know when they go, you know a guy sounds like this, but then you see him going like, ha, 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 you know, puts like
a soft
hue on his speech.
Like how you would talk to, like, you know, a child or something.
Yeah. Wow, you finished your whole beer, Katie? That's amazing.
Wow, that was great.
Do you want another one?
You're really cool to talk to. Let's talk some more.
You're so funny.
Let's go sit in the comfort of my apartment.
Have you ever had your head in a fridge? Have you ever woken up feetless in a trunk? Because no matter what a comic is saying to you romantically, I know their real vision in their head. They're dark people. So she's getting hit on by one guy that I know to be a slimy enough guy that I'm hovering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm entertaining the three or four groups of friends I have there, chatting up the Gotham waitresses, but hovering.
Uh-huh.
Then I that guy punts and leaves because he invites her to go home. Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You won't name names, but he
Mm-mm.
said, what did he say? He said, I'm going home. Do you want to come?
So I'm going to go home now. Yeah.
Were you into it on any level?
N-O, no.
Okay, cool.
No.
So that guy says, like, I'm going to go home. Do you want to come home? Like
mm-hmm.
one of those?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so funny. So he leaves, right, Dean? I see that threat neutralized.
Uh-huh.
And now for selfish purposes, I host a radio show with this girl.
Yeah.
I want her to bang one of these guys.
Sure.
It's a great story for the show.
Right.
But he leaves, and then I introduce her to a group of people, but I notice one guy kind of hovers in.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like, everybody talking, but he talking a little too much.
Yeah.
He kind of, his body language is, like, aiming at her.
Uh-huh.
He ain't aiming at, like, everyone else is looking around, making eye contact with the group when they talk.
Right.
But his eyes, he never blinks for, like, a half hour. But the more I saw that guy talk to you, the more I was like, he doesn't like women.
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
He doesn't like, right?
So I was really confused.
I saw a guy hitting on her that I was like, well, he doesn't want to bang her. Like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
And then I saw a trained killer start hitting on her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Remember when Eddie Murphy talks about the bus boys?
Uh-huh.
It's like, the bus boys, they fuck everything that moves.
When they come over my house,
the fish stop swimming.
Right.
Then I saw one of the bus boys start talking to her.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, I better stick around for this.
Uh-huh.
Because Katie, you know, we had designs on taking Katie out for French fries after the show, which we did rather successfully.
Yeah, that happened.
Shout out to Lucky's Diner, which we hit at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yep.
We did.
Good.
And I actually got served.
Do you know that I found a French fry in my pocket at the Daily News photo shoot?
Yeah, man.
I was at 30
you
Rock.
How many beers had you had?
Decent amount, but not bad. But
yeah.
The next day I showed up to 30 Rock. I was waiting in the hallway for the guy Trip Wetzel,
uh-huh.
and as I'm whipping through my jacket for my headphones, I find a French fry, take it out, and eat it. And the security guard comes over and goes, hey, pal, what are you here for? What are you doing exactly?
Yeah.
Like, no, I mean something.
This guy's eating French fries out of his pocket.
Nothing damages a man's credibility.
Yeah.
Like pulling food, unwrapped food, out of a jacket and eating it.
Last night's unwrapped food.
It reminds me when Spanky on the Little Rascals brought bologna to school in his pocket. He brought bologna and bread, and that was me. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into more of Katie Dolan's hijinks. We'll break down the five biggest news stories of the day. We'll answer some of your tweets and emails about today's Daily News article. And we'll tell you why Australia might have just saved your marriage. A couple of Australian scientists. coming through with beer development.
Ooh.
And pizza, military pizza that lasts 3 years.
What?
Being invented by the military as we speak. It's a big day on the show.
Oh, my God.
With Jimmy Fallon. There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Do you enjoy having a few drinks from time to time? Do you sometimes keep drinking even though the people around you tell you you've had enough?
I'm fine. Don't touch me.
Have you ever woken up pantsless in an unfamiliar stairwell? Have you ever been thrown out of a bar at 3 in the afternoon? Has the camera on your cell phone ever led to a restraining order? Have you ever punched a police horse in the face? If so, then Morning Miracle may be right for you. With 5 essential electrolytes and no added sugar, it's the natural way to keep hangovers at bay. Dealing with last night's going to be tough enough without a level 6 headache and the perpetual urge to vomit. So get Morning Miracle and a damn good attorney.
Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Fallon.
It's a big, fat, big-titted hit!
Coming to you live from New York City, the world's bike lane. That's what they call us. It's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Fallon. 855-236-2280, the toll-free number for the broadcast if you'd like to be a part of the show. We may open the phone lines at the end of the
show. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we like promote the hell out of this.
Open them phone lines up, man.
We promote the shit out of this, and we never open the phones.
Open the phones,
terrible
man.
People.
Let these people in.
It's not like we're even doing anything that good, but we just haven't had time.
Just people dying to be let in
and we
speak their mind.
We are radio deadbeat dads.
Yeah.
We need to start doing a better job.
Not paying attention.
With you, the listener. Mm. And we emphasize you in the singular
sense. Singular sense.
This episode of Off the Meter and every episode of Off the Meter, sponsored by the good folks at Audible.com. Log on to audibletrial.com for a free 30-day membership and a free audiobook. Check
mm-hmm.
that out.
Mm-hmm.
Log on to Amazon.com. Pre-order my new book, Follow That Car.
Uh-huh.
You know what I did today, Dean Imperial?
What'd you do?
Gave out my first autographed copy of the book.
You did?
I did. To very whom? First. My mom, of course.
Oh.
Mom gets the first copy. To whom? There's some guy I saw on the street.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, are you the fat guy from the cab that wrote the ding?
Yeah.
It's my mom. I went over to my mom's house. We had a nice little one-on-one. This is my very first autographed book. You should have it. She was excited. And I was really just bribing her into watching my dog for the week because Jenny's away.
Right.
No, but she wanted it. She's like, no.
That'll be great until she reads it.
My mom. Are you kidding me? My mom?
No, she's
going to underline the fuck scenes. She's yeah. my mom. You can't walk
no,
my
I'm
mom.
I'm kidding.
She's so hardcore. Jenny's mom? Different situation. Oh. Like, I've already realized we're not going home for Easter. There's no way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we can go home for Easter, but it's going to be a very quiet Easter.
Yeah.
Her brother's going to love it. Her dad's going to love it. I want to say this. I'll do it by name, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes her family, when they're in the car out there, listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
By name, who's going to like my book? Jenny's dad, Dave. He's going to like it, but he can't go on record as saying he likes it because his wife's going to disown him. Jenny's mom's going to say supportive things and pray the rosary at least 50 times a day.
Yeah.
Jenny's grandfather is going to have his pacemaker backfire if he reads it, so I'm not letting him read it.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Jim, appalled. Uncle Dan's going to love it. Aunt Kathy's going to love it. Darren's going to love it. Matt's going to be on the fence. So I think I'm going to go about 45% I'm going to win.
Okay.
55%
okay.
I'm going to tank horribly.
See, but you know what it is that, like, you get, sometimes it's just the actual achievement
of doing it
overshadows the content.
Well, no, not in this case.
Oh, okay.
You heard the audiobook, pal. Anybody who buys, can I say something about the audiobook, by the way?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be promoting the audiobook.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we shouldn't promote the audiobook. The audiobook is not for everybody.
I'm not telling anybody about anything, personally.
It's a hardcore experience.
Nobody's even going to know about it.
Can I tell you something? The audiobook is a more visceral experience than living that book.
Yeah.
As a guy who lived the book, saw the guns and the vaginas and
right.
the drugs. Oh, my
yeah.
God. Crazy stuff, Katie Dolan. Crazy mm-hmm. stuff. But it's always nice to have you in studio, pal.
Yep.
So, yeah, log on to Amazon, buy the book. Pre-order the book anyway, but it's going to be out any day now.
Did you order the book?
I ordered it a very long time ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, Katie Dolan.
Katie Dolan.
A fan of the pop-up book. It'd be so great to write a pop-up book.
You got the scratch and sniff version?
The scratch and sniff off the meter book. Ladies and gentlemen, the five biggest news stories of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Network News Hour, starring the mad prophet of the airways,
Ken Wood. This first one's a big one, and it might not be number one in the world, but it's number one to us. Military scientists announce that they will now begin supplying our troops with pizza that can be eaten in the field. It's gonna last for 3 years. Doesn't need to be refrigerated or heated up. It's gonna be eaten at room temperature. They found a science that will combat the moisture in cheese and sauce because pizza is the most requested item amongst troops in the field. Could you ever be happier for military troops than know they're getting pizza?
Well, it's a huge day for America.
But
I want to understand how the cheese stays melted.
I have no idea. You want to know something, Dean? You don't want to understand
how the cheese stays melted. It's like a focaccia bread, probably.
It's going to last 3 years, no refrigeration, and they said it's amazing. They actually said it's good. They said it's taste testing like insanely well.
Who's saying this?
The scientists and the soldiers.
The soldiers are saying it.
I got to tell you something. If the pizza's going to last 3 years, there's a chemical in it more dangerous than anything the enemy is using.
Yeah.
Forget anything.
I want to know, do they have a picture of it anywhere? I want to see what this pizza
looks like. It looks like Elio's pizza. It looks exactly like sheets of Elio's pizza.
Oh, man.
And they said
it's put me in the mood for pizza, though.
They say, I know, right? They said it has pepperoni. It has sausage, and it's good.
Oh, man.
But I'm happy for that. There's no one
That's
roots,
great.
No one roots harder for the troops than me, and no one roots harder for the pizza than me.
But this pizza lasts three years.
That's the one thing I'd be nervous about, because you know how they tell you, like, when they recruit you to join the Marines, you're going to have, like, a six-month tour?
Yeah.
This kind of hints at the fact that they might be lying.
Oh.
Now, what do you want? Right? The pizza lasts five times as long, bro.
Man.
But I'm so excited for them.
Were they running out of food, though?
They said since 1981, when the military switched to field rations, canned food, and switched from canned food to actual processed other stuff, that soldiers have been begging for pizza. They want pizza. I could see that. So this is a win. There's nothing about this story that's not a positive.
So they've been hopefully working on this for 3 years. I'm hoping.
Since last Tuesday. Yeah, they got a pizza and a Ziploc.
Yeah, it lasts 3 years. No, go ahead.
They said it lasts 3 years, and they said it's amazing. So I'm happy for the troops, man.
As a military advancement, what does this rank up there with? Mm. Like the B-2?
The B-2. But you
know
what's funny about
old pizza?
But what I'm thinking here is, like, we could be wiping out a lot of countries without military might if we just give them our diet. Like if you want to F up the Middle East, send in McDonald's, send in Domino's.
I think they have our dietary.
Yo, give me a combat slice.
Fine. I'm saying though, that's the only thing I was concerned about is that there's got to be something in this pizza that's not good for the troops.
If it lasts for 3 years without decomposing,
it's plutonium.
How does it break down in the body?
I mean,
this is not our purview.
This really isn't my wheelhouse.
It stays 3 years in your stomach, too.
Yeah. One of the things they don't tell you at community college is how the 3 years.
You know how sometimes you get so excited about an idea, you tell everybody about it before it's actually been fully thought out?
Yeah. First draft. You think this is a first draft?
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting, but I don't know. They have to have been working on it for 3 years. How do they know it lasts 3 years or 4 years? They have to know it goes bad at some point. Where do they get this 3 years number?
I have no idea.
Well, clearly they've been working on it for a while.
But it sounds well. Listen to me. I mean, if these troops are anything like us, they only need it to last 3 minutes.
Who has that job?
What, to make pizza for the military?
Yeah, making 3 year pizza for 3 years. That's all you're working on? Like, I think I figured it out. Taste this every day. That's a job?
I guess. I don't know. Hey, I mean, you talk about good military jobs.
Is that a military job, or is that like a...
You were flying a desk. You know what I mean? Right. You weren't on the field. You were flying a desk.
That's food chemistry.
You were flying a brick oven, bro.
Yeah.
You weren't there.
Well, if this is as good as they say, then all the troops have something to be thankful for.
That's what I said.
This is
a big day for the troops. Shout out to the troops. Video. This is a great one. Woman in South Carolina arrested for not returning a copy of Monster in Law, a Jennifer Lopez film she rented in 1995 on VHS. She rented a VHS in 1995, hadn't returned it till today, almost 20 years later.
But she returned it?
No, for not returning it.
But I'm saying, how did they catch her?
It doesn't say.
Because I'm saying, did she go and try and return it?
No, it says the cops. It says they had filed, like Blockbuster used to do. You know, Blockbuster would send you to, a collection agency?
Yeah.
They had filed papers for all of these rental scoff laws. And I guess crime is low enough in this town in South Carolina that they got around to prosecuting it.
Oh, God.
I mean, she should probably be arrested for renting that movie in the first place.
She's
just for
in
taking
jail?
It out.
I think it's 2005, not 1995.
Bail. It says 95 in the story. But
do you know?
And that's fine. That would be fine.
And how much trouble I would be in?
Oh, if they prosecuted,
that here in New York. Do you know how many places I've had videos, DVDs, library books? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just make them part of my collection.
That's such a problem. What you in here for? Ernest Saves Christmas?
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks 2?
Right.
It's not good. But yes, she gets arrested. She posts bond.
What's the bond?
But
on
it's still
this?
An interesting story. $10,000.
Are you serious?
Wow! Yes.
I know it
what
sounds
town
excessive.
Is this in South Carolina?
So most of these stores, once the fine reaches the cost of the,
they let it go, film, right?
And there's a little penalty.
Yeah,
but you're not supposed to be fined more than the movie's actually worth. It's
wow.
It's a Blockbuster too. They have a
she
lot of.
She pissed somebody
of
off.
Thing.
That's nuts. I mean, I wouldn't. You know what? That just shows you how crazy some parts of the country are.
Yes. Well,
that's
you know,
insane.
You know what's funny about that? You know how how the law is. You know, they say life is timing, and the law is subjective and stuff like that. You know,
oh.
There are people that shoot people that don't go to jail. She watched Monster in Law.
Oh my God.
Hard. Time.
Monster in Law. So she watched a Jennifer Lopez movie.
Yes.
What's her name? Do they have her name?
They don't say.
Is she a minority?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Who knows? Because that's South Carolina. It can get pretty ugly down
Charleston.
There.
Charleston. I hope it's not Lena Gatling, Jaleesha's mom.
Oh.
Good friend of the show. She might rent Monster in Law.
There's no way she would watch Monster in Law.
I hope not.
Monster
I mean, that's
Law.
Pretty much a criteria for being a guest on this show. If you've watched it, we probably don't let you on, right?
Right.
Jennifer Lopez movie? That's the most embarrassing part of the story.
But you know what? There's more. But Monster in Law is also, there was another big star in Monster in Law,
Is it Matthew McConaughey or one of those jerks? Because
no,
he did a few with
somebody's
Jennifer.
Playing the mother-in-law.
I think it's Jane Fonda, isn't it?
Jane Fonda.
Really?
Yeah.
Jane Fonda.
She stinks.
The plot thickens. No, it doesn't. It's just dumb.
I cannot believe there's a $10,000 bond for that.
That's not. This is dumb.
I do feel like some prosecutors have got nothing to do.
Nothing.
I just think they will judge their career based on how many collective years they
put people away behind bars.
That's just how white folks will do you.
That's what's going on.
That's it.
So, good luck to this woman. I hope it works out. Ooh, study by scientists in England say that extreme loneliness increases the likelihood that you'll die at an early age by 14%. Isn't that funny, though?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
No, but it says it's as bad as heart disease and everything like that.
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. Because in a way, it actually contributes to those things, like heart disease. It's a form of depression.
Here's the bigger issue, which is so interesting, is that negative feelings and negative emotions make you sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what, because there's theories about how, it could be loneliness or it could be grief. It could be guilt give you cancer. They wear down your body's defenses and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's what it is. It's breaking the person down because there's a toxic asset inside of them. It's like hating somebody.
There you go.
You can't hate because hate is a toxic asset.
It's toxic.
But if you have extreme loneliness, I mean, do you want to die more?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Because there's nothing really to – what do you – because think about it. I mean, if your extreme loneliness means that you're really not interacting with people at all.
Uh-huh.
So, what do you have to, look forward to?
Death, you're saying? Yeah, I don't know.
Television.
Huh?
Movies, television, liquor.
I feel like that's not enough to sustain motivation.
Absolutely, no, you're right.
The body shuts down, and it does. You start producing certain kinds of acids and negativity,
you know what I would like to know.
And then
about
you
this?
Die.
And then you
Ken,
die.
That's what happens. Then you die.
Who's
okay?
ready for some
you
comedy?
You happy, Ken?
You guys ready to laugh? Depression equals
death. Are you
death.
Guys ready for some comedy?
What do you think the opposite effect is? You know, people that are surrounded by too many people?
I think that has the same effect. Though.
Probably, right?
That'll kill you, too.
Because there are people.
Go ahead.
I spend a good percentage of my waking time being like, if I could be be around a few less people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like, in commuting and stuff like that.
Oh, so you're talking about the people you work with, you know?
I'm talking about you guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it weird that I didn't make eye contact for any of that?
Any of that.
I spend a lot of time around people I can't stand.
No, but you're a guy who thrives on being around people. You're a people. Yeah. You are a people
person,
though.
But I do good alone. Like, my favorite thing I've done in my life was write a book. I just blasted music and stayed home and did drugs in my living room.
But you had a wife and child nearby.
Yeah, they came home.
You're a people person.
I'm a people person.
You are, Jim.
Just want to be out there with you guys.
You know?
Just want to be pals. Yeah, so I don't know. What do we say? We're kind of life coaches on this show.
Are we?
How do we solve no?
Just get out there and meet people.
Just get out there and shake somebody's hand.
But before you do, clean clothes, soap and water never hurts. I just want to put that out there.
Well, remember the guy in that news story a few weeks ago who was caught opening his window and masturbating so all his neighbors could see him?
Yeah. How about
that's extreme loneliness. And then he burnt down his house.
You guys ready for the puppet show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny, man.
Extreme loneliness.
Extreme loneliness. Well, good luck out there, folks. But yes, what you do... is you turn to the Off the Meter show. We're your friends. No one should be alone in this world as long as we're on the air, because there's no more accepting show in the air. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
Just look at what we accept to air. I mean, I'm talking about me. It starts at the top.
Yeah,
I mean,
it just
if we're putting me on, we're putting anything on, and that's not me
starts
being
with
humble.
You, and then it just falls off the table,
off a cliff. Trickle down. It trickles way down. It's just
there's
mess.
There's nothing trickling about it. It's a torrential monsoon of...
Right. You ever see a cow thrown off a mountain?
You know when someone pees on a sidewalk and it runs down the street?
Uh-huh.
This show is the result of someone good at radio peeing on a sidewalk. We're the stream when it's like a block down.
You know what happens to a pig when you throw it off the top of Empire State Building? I'll tell you right now, it's a mess, man.
What the hell did you just say?
That was so funny. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. But when we come back, the last two stories, and quite possibly your calls and emails, right here on the Big Bad One and Only Off the Meter radio program.
New York Street.
Jimmy Fallon.
I wish he could have been with me when I sat with a group of teenagers who were black.
If you're an entrepreneur looking to start your own business or expand an existing business, but you don't know which local politicians and union bosses you need to bribe, then it's about time you call the good folks at Bureaucracy Bypass and race to the front of the line. Bureaucracy Bypass has helped thousands of would-be business owners, just like yourself, determine exactly who to take to the Palm Steakhouse and supply with hookers in order to get land rezoned, taxes abated, and operating licenses swiftly granted. Don't waste another minute buying plane tickets for some bozo who claims to be tight with your county executive. Get Bureaucracy Bypass and bypass the bureaucracy.
Train is a clean train, you know this train. This train is a clean train, I said this train. This train is a clean train, everybody ride it in Jesus' name, because this train is a clean train, Lord, this train.
Coming to you live from New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Fallon. If you're in the hood, if you're in the tri-state area tonight, get down to Stand Up New York, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'll be on the show with Chris Laker.
Oh!
Best of the best.
I love Chris Laker.
Chris Laker at the very tippy top of my list of favorite people in this city.
Yes.
Star of our web series promoting my book.
Yeah, steals the
show. By most accounts, he steals the show. People really like him. Well, let's be fair. Corinne Fisher deserves some type of notoriety.
Great. She's great too.
For being willing to show her lady parts to the camera.
She did.
She really stepped up her pimp game.
She did.
Shout out to both of them, and of course, you, the listener. If you're in the tri-state area, get down to Stand Up New York tonight, 10 o'clock, see the champ in action. If it doesn't work, there are rumors going around that the entire crew will be down at the Revel Hotel and Casino Gaming Resort in Atlantic City, New Jersey, this coming Thursday, February the 20th. I'll be down at the Revel. Thursday night. It is a 10 p.m. show. And I got to tell you something about the Revel. Swanky hotel. They got a burlesque club across, directly across the floor from the comedy
like
club.
That? Are they fancy like
that? It's one of them. It's like a high-end, sexy Vegas club.
They do that fancy stuff.
They honestly, they don't even throw out the needles. They share the needles.
You heard that, Cam? Fancy.
It's crazy. Oh, let me tell you something. It's nice. And you know what the funny thing about it is? The first time I went, you know how I roll.
Mm-hmm.
I took my mom and Aunt Fran the first time I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it like three times, but I took Aunt Fran, who's 2'7".
Uh-huh.
It's like 65 years old. Not the ideal burlesque person, but she's like my mom. She can't be freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
She went for it. She was there.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's who I am.
I love Atlantic City when it's cold out.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
Yes.
You ever throw up on the head of an Asian masseuse?
No, but I know who has. I can name a few people in this studio who have, and I'm not one of them. And I'm not even taking the lid off of my Pandora's box of underachievement. I have done things in that town. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get, I was once in Atlantic City with a guy, Joe Danaher, who got robbed by a hooker. He was on a three-day pill binge. He got robbed by a hooker and then hired someone to kill the hooker. But he was such an addict that he went down to the boardwalk. He hired a guy by giving him a description of the hooker. Paid the guy $1,000 because this is how many drugs he was on and how prodigious of a gambler he was.
Yeah.
And the homeless guy on the boardwalk was like, I probably couldn't believe it was happening.
Right.
He gave him $1,000. He was, yeah, brother, I got it. I'm going to kill it right now. I got it, brother. Yeah, you good, brother. I'm right now.
And you were hanging out with this guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So imagine what my night looked like.
Uh-huh.
That's who I was riding shotgun to. That was my mentor.
Yeah.
This guy took me down to Atlantic City and hired a whatchamacallit. You want to know the best one I blew ever?
Uh-huh.
So I used to have an old telemarketing boss that used to bang strippers like crazy.
Yeah.
But in a roundabout way, he was doing it for pay. He wouldn't pay them for sex. But he'd take him out to these really lavish dinners, and he was always, like, giving him money to gamble and stuff. Like, no, let's go to Atlantic City. And he wouldn't say, like, here's money for sex.
Giving money to gamble.
No. He would, like, take him to the blackjack table, buy chips, buy in for, like, $10,000 and slide them $2,000.
Right.
So it wasn't directly paying them for sex because they could lose the money.
Sure.
But the point is we all agree in some way, shape, or form he was paying them for the sex.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
One time I'm at the Atlantic City Hilton, sight unseen, this girl is meeting him at the Hilton, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's meeting him for one of these dates. He invites me to come down and see him and spend the weekend. He's like, I got the whole floor at the Hilton. I'll hang out in one of the suites, have a good time. You'll have a great time. I'm like 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive down to the Hilton all by myself, my 87 Chrysler LeBaron with no grill on the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know when the front, you know when the headlights pop up?
Yeah.
Well, only one does. You know how bad that looks?
Yeah,
it looks like
a guy
missing front teeth.
Right.
Like
right,
key
right,
front
right.
teeth. But I drive down in my telemarketer's salary, and I get to the Hilton to check in. She's like, yeah, you know, Gary left you a key. Go right upstairs. I walk in the door upstairs and get tackled to the ground. To the ground by two big-titted stripper hooker women that are there to meet him.
Oh, wow.
And they're making out with me, making out with each other. My shoulder bag is on my shoulder. And like an idiot, I go, whoa. I go, I'm not Gary. And they were like, oh, really? And got up and like dusted themselves off.
Oh, wow.
Blew it.
So it is a story about love. I knew it was going to be a beautiful story.
But I could have played along.
I know.
So at least
I'm
honest in some regard. As a terrible person, I'm an honest, terrible person.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think it's good that those days are behind you.
I think you dodged a bullet on that one.
Just kidding, baby. I am Gary.
Right, let's get back. Right.
Let's do it to it. I'm an other Gary. But no. So you remember, I think you know the end of the story. So the girl said, the girl goes, well, how was that? Meaning like they knew that I knew what they were there to do.
Uh-huh.
By acknowledging the fact that there was like an aggressive physical confrontation taking place.
Yes, yes.
They realized that I knew they were basically being paid to have sex with someone.
Right.
And I blew it. Walked right in the middle of the shot.
Yep.
And didn't close the deal. Why did I not close the deal? Because Jenny might be listening to the show right now.
What's so goddamn funny?
But I digress. Oh. I didn't touch neither of them bitches. Because Jenny might be listening to the show right now. Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is it doesn't always end good for me in Atlantic City.
Right.
But it has ended well lately. Fourth biggest story of the day, hangover-free beer down in Australia. Shout out to the scientists down under, Ron Purcell.
God.
Ron Purcell, who's our number one listener in Australia. He's coming to America for 5 weeks.
Damn.
In March. Mm-hmm. We'll get him on to talk about this. But hangover-free beer, which I don't think is good.
Man.
The things that remove repercussion from our lives, I think, breed more like irresponsibility. Like, I think that's dangerous.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You get some three-year pizza, some hangover-free beer.
Yeah, does anybody know? Yeah, we're about to become computers.
No, but you're saying, isn't it good that we get a hangover?
Yeah.
Right.
I think in a weird way, yes, because you need some type of reminder that you're not.
I agree with you.
Are
they going to stop at beer? Are they going to have hangover-free vodka, hangover-free whiskey, hangover-free scotch?
Right now, they're at beer. I'm sure they're not going to stop because there's probably a huge market for it.
Yeah.
But this feels like an e-cigarette to me, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something. I mean, you're drinking Gatorade at this point.
Yeah.
So what does it do? It hydrates you along the way.
Yes, it says it's hydrating as you drink.
Because that
sounds like you can really like.
Think about how much you pee when you drink.
Oh.
Now imagine you're drinking stuff that hydrates you.
Well, actually, if it hydrates you, you won't pee as much.
Is that true?
Yeah, because a diuretic
dehydrates you. So scientific when he's on.
Yeah, seriously.
No, but that's a really interesting fact. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well, because the water is actually staying in your system rather than leaving it. That actually might be an unintended benefit.
Yo, where you going?
Hangover free beer is. It also might be piss free beer.
Whoa! Wait. So, I think that you can just get drunker and drunker and drunker, right? Yeah. If you're getting hydrated, because doesn't it tire you out too when you get dehydrated?
Yeah.
So it kind of makes you stop.
Yeah.
At some point, your liver is going to shut down, though.
It's got a lot of alcohol.
It's not good. To take the repercussions out.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Because just think about this. If you know, we've all been at that point where we're as tired as we are drunk, and there's some reason within us, and we stop drinking for the sole purpose that we know it's going to hurt us in the morning. You know those nights where you don't have two extra beers because you're just like, I don't want to be.
I can't do this.
Yeah. Now if you know that's not going to happen, this is going to encourage more drinking. People are going to be drunker. People are going to drunk drive more.
Yeah. And you can actually, if you do Gatorade, you know, just play a little defense, as you would say.
Yeah.
Like right before bed, have a few, glasses of Gatorade or whatever it is, coconut water, and you can avoid the hangover. Anyway.
Just man.
Yeah, but are you in the mind frame to be like, you know what? Let me have my glass of coconut water.
I actually am. But only because I am a professional.
I'm a professional drinker.
I'm better at that than anybody.
I want repercussions.
Yeah.
As a guy, I drink once in a while, but I still feel like we benefit from a safety standpoint.
Sure.
If there's some accountability. Uh-huh. The fact we're getting too much accountability out of life, it's not good. Cut off my stomach. I can't stop
90
eating.
90 seconds.
Right.
You know, like the whole thing, all of our friends are getting their stomachs cut off.
I'm happy
for them because they're happy. I want them all to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like somehow it's breeding not so much a recklessness, but just like a lack of personal accountability.
Yeah.
And discipline.
Yeah. Science is advancing in a way that's making us weaker.
Yep.
As science gets stronger, we get weaker.
That always has been the case,
though. It's the man tearing us down.
Mm-hmm.
The man. Final story of the day. Tonight at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Takes over the Tonight Show. We shout out the gentleman. Shout out all the producers. We shout out Jerry Seinfeld, the first comic on the show.
Tomorrow night.
Jerry going to be on the show. We already saw his set.
How
about that? Yeah, don't piss him off.
No, he's great. He's listening. Right. I forgot.
Yeah. He might be. You never know. People are listening to this show. I don't know why, but I say thank you.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in seventh grade, three girls wrote me a love note. Jen Dugan, Danielle Meekins, Kim Barlow.
One all together?
I'm outing you today. I'm outing you all today. They wrote me a love note, seventh grade. I was in health class, Mrs. Dolan's health class.
Whoa.
I know. Isn't that funny? Her name was Dolan.
10 seconds.
Her name was Dolan. That's freaked out. They called her Roland Dolan because she was a big fat woman. And they wrote me a collective love note. And they said, we all like you, but we don't know why. Please don't tell anybody. And maybe that's been a metaphor for the whole show's right. success.
Shh, they're maybe. Getting closer.
Shout out to Marianne M. Fala. Best of the best. First autographed copy of the book. Shout out to you, the listener, for making this show what it is. Please don't post anything on Facebook tonight expressing your opinion on anything topical or sociopolitical, because nobody cares. We've kind of arrived at that conclusion.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Get down to Stand Up New York at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. See the champ in action. You'll be supporting Chris Laker, as good a guy as there is in showbiz right now. So do that.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work, come down to Atlantic City. There's a good chance you'll get tackled by two strippers being paid for sex.
Yep.
You might even hire somebody to kill one of them. I mean, it's always a good time in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, you might throw up on the head of an Asian masseuse.
Yeah.
All bets are off. The show's over. Log on to audibletrial.com/offthemeter for a free audio book. Log on to amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and indiebound.org to pre-order my new book, Follow That Car. Shout out to the Daily News, Trip Wetzel, and the great Jimmy Fallon. The
yep.
Tonight Show, changing hands right here in New York City. Thanks for listening, folks. This is the best we can do.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.